Abashion.com presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Bash.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Bash. My name is Jock Yitch, and we have an excellent show for everybody tonight. First off, happy 2009. This will be the first live show of the year. Hope everyone had a great holiday. If you're out there in our chat room, a lot of guys are, thanks for coming here tonight. Wanted to give a shout out to all those huddled behind their keyboards in our Game Surge chat area. That's #bash/ on Game Surge. If you're listening to us on iTunes, or if you simply downloaded the cast, I'd like to say, hey, how's it going, eh? That's our official Canadian Bash greeting. On with us today will be our usual Bash roundtable from FPSadmin.com. It's Rude Dog, Jim.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, how you doing, Rude Dog?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good holiday?
Very good.
You've been busy little bee. I haven't been on for a little while, so glad
to... Yeah, we had family come down and just vacation time, trying to take care of things around the house, so I've been trying to get away from the keyboard over the holiday, shall we say.
Yeah, good move. I've been glued to it, or super glued to it. From CODTV.TV, it's Garrett Jacks. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How's it going?
Clearly, I've gone insane. So...
But no surprise there.
Yeah, no surprise. I was not that far away to begin with, to be honest with you. And live from his bar. Oh, I'm sorry, his computer room. From this, I got right from mycallofduty.com. It's Modder Extraordinaire, PST Joker.
Hello, everyone.
You are, of course, not only a modder, but now you're the head admin at the Bash Fragfest DAM server. Yeah, you've got the Sivo rule set installed on that particular server, and you're sitting back watching all the high priced help go in there and shoot it up, aren't you?
Oh yeah, high priced help. Yep. They're sending money over, you know, over hand over fist.
You were there the other night. I was very impressed by your game. You had a ninja defuse on me that was really to die for. It was an amazing thing.
Yeah, I played so well. I cannot believe how well these guys spanked me.
Absolutely, the ninja defuse. I did actually hear you at the end because you were rattling beer cans, I think.
Yeah, that probably gave me away. Sorry.
Either that or was the smell. Look, great job on sorry. Was that a low blow? It's true, but it's a low blow. Listen, great job on the server. Thank you very much. You did a hell of a job. There's a lot of guys actually in the chat room, seriously, that are playing there and having a good time because of what you did. So thank you very much. And thank you to, you want to say it? To Clan Wars for...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you to Clan Wars for sponsoring the server. And in our pre-show, we were actually discussing the location of the server, and I believe we're going to get that moved to Chicago.
Because, of course, that's where Obama's from.
See? Yeah. Might as well send it to him.
Yeah, we're trying to ingratiate ourselves to the President of the United States, or the future President of the United States. We've also got two special guests that are going to be coming on to talk about Gotfrag.com. Let's just talk about the tournament over there. We have Jeff from Gotfrag. He's the head of COD4 News over there, and he's going to be on. And hopefully, we're going to get to another interesting topic, and that's with the editor-at-large from Gamma Sutra. And he's also on idlethumbs.com, an even better webcast, let me tell you. And that's Chris Remo. He's the editor, as I said, at-large from Gamma Sutra. And on idlethumbs.com, please go out on iTunes and subscribe to that, because it's an awesome webcast. You got to listen to that podcast. And Chris will be on momentarily to talk about something that he's just done recently, which I think has just gone totally viral in the COD4 community. It's a little song, little ditty that he did on someone we know all too well. And I'll keep that.
All I can think of from his website is Idle Hands.
No.
Did you ever see that?
No. What's that?
Oh, it was Jessica Alba's first movie. How could you miss it?
I don't know. My hands were busy at the time.
I bet.
Look, the theme for tonight...
It's got zombies in it.
You got to watch it. The theme for tonight is going to be a look back at 2008. It's our 2008 wrap-up show, of course, 1.5 weeks late. So that's us, though. That we're a little bit different over here. But it's our 2008 wrap-up show. I'm going to start this off by just saying that you look back at 2008. I'm sure that the game industry will look back at 2008 and look at it as a success overall. you know, I was just looking this up a little while ago. Gaming companies, I believe, have pulled in over $50 billion worldwide. Our economist over there, Garrett Jacks, I'm sure will correct me, but it's one of the few sectors of the economy that's actually making money right now, you know, with the recession and everything in North America. Well, it and I guess what, the repo business. Oh, and the car, I forgot, and the car companies, thanks to U.S. and Canadian legislators. So at least what I hear anyway. So I thought it would be interesting to look back at 2008 from our own perspective here in the Call of Duty community and see what this year has brought us. And we're going to talk about stuff like the State of the Union for Call of Duty, maybe get a little bit into the business things. But I'm going to start off right now because I've got Chris Remo on, and that's about the events of 2008, and I had a whole bunch of events that I thought were super important in 2008, and the first, right off the bat, was something that happened, I believe, in November, and it was 402 calling Noah Heller a, and can I say it here, douche, I believe that's what it's called, a fact which prompted a lot of discussion and a lot of chatter on the internet, and it kind of died down. We talked about this a little bit way back, about a couple of months ago, and it was kind of a it was something that was so stunning to us, that at least the guys that are in the Call of Duty community, to hear 402, the community manager at Infinity Ward, the people who brought us Call of Duty 4, talk in such a depreciating way about a gentleman, Noah Heller, who's a high up figure in Activision, a producer at Activision, producing Treyarch's Call of Duty World of War, in such a disparaging tone. It just caught me aback, but it caught other people in different ways. And I wanted to bring on a gentleman that I don't know if he's very well known in the Call of Duty community. Hopefully he'll be better known after we get through with him. But Chris, are you out there?
I'm here.
Chris Remo, thank you very much for coming on. As I said, you're the editor at large with Gamma Sutra. Very, very quickly, other than writing articles at Gamma Sutra, you're also on Idle Thumbs. Is that right? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm, as you noted, the editor at large at Gamma Sutra, which is a game industry development focused site. And then I also co-host the Idle Thumbs podcast, which is something I do with a couple of colleagues who were involved in Idle Thumbs back when it was a kind of feature-driven and interview-driven site. And we recently transformed it into a podcast. And one of the things I do on that podcast, in addition to, you know, talk about games and industry events, is I write strange little songs that correspond to current events in the games industry or current games, things that gamers might get a kick out of. So that's where this bizarre thing came from.
And gee, I wonder how this is all going to play out, because we've been talking about this little rant. And of course, it's because...
I wonder.
And it's because you came up with a nice little ditty. And there's the strains of it, I believe.
There it is.
And I'll talk over this, because I don't want to play the whole song, because I'm going to let them come to your site. I have some links on the song.
Senor Super Douche, stop doing interviews. And if I see you one more, you will alert for Call of Duty 4. Because of an interview you did, I'll flip my lid. Please, Senor S. Douche, stop doing interviews.
Seriously, man. You're killing me.
Seriously, man, you took what was an unbelievable rant from 402, and you turned it into a spoof. Let me ask you right off the bat, why did you do this?
You know, I was looking at the post, and I on Gamma Sutra we had covered the rant, and it was such a strange thing, and so many people, especially at Gamma Sutra, which is a development-oriented site, an industry-oriented site, and, you know, that was sort of an inter-industry conflict. You know, it wasn't something that directly involved gamers. It involved people in the industry at each other's throats, and it was, and then we were talking about it on the podcast one week, and it was such a strange, surreal, bizarre thing, and we started making kind of jokes about it. And so after whatever week that was, the week that this came out, and we talked about it on the show, I went back and I went home and I And I kind of sat down and kind of started thinking, is there any way I could take the insane, just hilarious rant that Robert Bowling let loose and somehow put it to music? And it was actually really difficult because it was, you know, it was just, it's a rant, you know, it's sort of unmusical just inherently. And so that's why I ended up adding kind of those spoken word sections with the kind of vamping in the background there. And I just put it in the show, and like I do for some of the other songs I write, and people seem to, this one seemed to pick up, I guess, more attention than most of them, probably because it specifically referred to actual individuals, you know, in a fairly explosive situation.
I mean, you always lose the purpose of having a joke if you try to explain it. But the reason it caught my eye is the counterpoint between this totally emotional, out of control rant that 402 had. But it's, as I said, counterpointed by the fact that you have this very cerebral, sort of classic, progressive music in the background. Was that obviously that was intentional?
Yeah, that was something that I thought was sort of just, that amused me, was the idea of this just livid guy sort of delivering these lines in a very kind of nightclubby, kind of very soothing kind of way, as if he's trying to kind of get the guy on his side, you know, kind of coax him over a bit. And then if you listen to the whole song, that ends up stopping towards the end there. So he can't quite keep up with that pretense.
It was a great song. As I said, I'd heard it, what, about maybe a week and a half ago? Joker, you sent me that link?
Yeah, I think so. About a week and a half ago, 2 weeks.
I think it's been tweeted just about from the Philippines all the way to Argentina by now. So it's gone pretty viral. Obviously, you're a very talented player, and quite clearly your own harmony section as well. If I could tell.
Yeah, I like to do the vocal layering there.
Oh, it's absolutely the timing is spectacular on it. You're a very, very talented fellow.
Thank you.
Do you follow COD at all? Do you follow our community?
I don't follow the community too closely because I, just because of the nature of my job, I try to keep up with as many different games as possible. So I'm usually not too able to kind of delve real deep into the kind of extracurricular side of any one particular game. But I definitely, particularly Call of Duty 4, have a huge amount of respect for, and really thought it was just a fantastic experience.
Hey, Chris, I have a question for you in regards to the Rob Bowling's rant there.
Sure.
From a developer standpoint, how did the other developers feel? Is this, you know, from my standpoint, you know, I'm just a community, you know, guy that runs an admin site, and I was kind of, you know, almost felt embarrassed for someone in such a position to make that comment in public. How did other developers feel?
You know, it's a good question. I know that Robert himself thought the song was pretty hilarious, and he contacted me and let me know that he enjoyed it. And I've actually also heard that Jason West, one of the heads at Infinity Ward, has also enjoyed it quite a bit. So that was pretty gratifying to hear, because those are the guys I would be most worried about about, you know, being a little put off by it. But yeah, I mean, as far as other developers, I have kind of just friends who are developers who are kind of unconnected to this particular scenario, who thought it was pretty funny just on its own merits. But I, as far as other people who are connected to it beyond the few I've heard from, I don't know. I hope that, you know, anyone who listens to it realizes it was mainly in fun. I'm not actually trying to sort of pick sides one way or the other. I mainly just thought it was hilarious.
Right, and the song is very hilarious, I must say. I have to compliment you on that. But I'm saying in regards to the comments that Rob had initially made.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I've heard that there was a, if nothing else, at least a stern talking to that went on after that, that post went up on his site, and that is not surprising, I think. But
exactly.
Also, I think Infinity Ward at this point has become such, they're at this point one of the extremely, extremely few individual development studios that now has a game that's sold over 10 million units. I mean, Blizzard is another one. There are very, very few companies like that. And I think they have such a strong pull, especially within Activision at this point, that they probably have more leeway to have one of their staffers pull a stunt like that than a lot of developers would. You know, I imagine there'd be a lot of developers who, if someone did that, they would probably be in much bigger trouble. is my guess.
But, you know. You're an industry guy. Love mm-hmm. your sites, by the way. So we're gonna try and make you talk. you know, I know some of us. I know Rude Dog, and I think you were there. Joker, you know, went out like whatever 2 years ago to like help advise them on COD4 and so forth, and met with Grant and Jason and everyone, and it was really great. And you know, Grant is gone, and there's been little said about it. Really, well, yeah, but he's off. You know, he's not really with IIW anymore. His baby that he started with his 20-something guys. And, you know, the other thing is, I don't really want to think about it because I know, Jock, we're going to – I don't want to segue too early into this, you know, talk about how well everything did. You know, you have this year Take-Two, saying, EA, we don't want $2 billion for our company, okay? And you have COD4 outsold Grand Theft Auto 4. So, you know, in other words, shouldn't IW be worth $2 billion? And they sold it for, what, $11 million is what Activision bought them out for, including
something
the
like
IP.
That.
So the pain, I mean, I'm surprised the guy didn't jump off the building. I'm sure they compensated him a little bit, but, you know, I don't know. Anything to say about all that?
That's a tough situation in an industry where there's increasing consolidation and it's extremely rare for developers to own their own intellectual property, which I think is really unfortunate. I mean, it's the same thing with Bungie if you look at it. I mean, Microsoft essentially got an amazing deal in retrospect, picking up Bungie and then having Halo turn into the ridiculous success it was. And Infinity Ward is basically the same thing. It would be really interesting to see if Infinity Ward, like Bungie, would be able to kind of pull some kind of interesting independent kind of splinter like Bungie did. It looks like they kind of got halfway last year with kind of renegotiating their contract and so on. But yeah, I can only imagine for the guys who were in on the ground floor to go through that acquisition and then see just the absolutely just preposterous success that their games have created. It's got to be kind of mixed feelings, you know. I'm sure they're proud, but it's got to also be kind of a little weird in terms of the way that now Activision just kind of owns the whole property, kit and caboodle. Which I hope that changes. I hope that model in the games industry changes as time goes forward, and I hope that developers become more able to hang on to their own IP because I think that's important.
Well, I think, you know, Steam, I'm sorry, I was going to say, it's with the Steam model where they could put it out on Steam themselves. I mean, I think it's more now possible than ever before.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Steam. I think I spent about $200 during the Steam sale over the last couple of weeks.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. I love it. I love the idea that more of the money is going directly to developers and that it's a way for developers to get their stuff out there with fewer middlemen. I think that's just really great. And I would, you know, I completely support what Valve does with that service, and I would encourage everybody to take advantage of it.
But we also got to remember that Activision merger happened, you know, in the early days of Call of Duty. I could see things might have been different if IW was able to hold off until COD4. Things might have been different, but, you know,
that's true.
Hindsight, you know, we can always, you know, I wish I played those numbers last week, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But Bungie's left Microsoft, as have the guys that made Age of Empires, so they were able to separate. They may not own the IP anymore, but that doesn't mean they can come back with something
else. Bungie pulled off something pretty incredible. Ensemble, which made Age of Empires not necessarily quite so fortunate, I would probably say, but due to the way that happened, but Bungie definitely pulled off an amazing stunt, and I remember actually when that happened, I wrote an article that was sort of comparing Bungie and Infinity Ward and wondering if as well as Blizzard, because Blizzard is now another Activision-owned studio that has a huge degree of autonomy compared to their other internal studios. And I think those three studios are really interesting in the way that they have managed to deal with sort of being owned by a publisher while simultaneously being responsible for so much individual success that is clearly due to their own development as opposed to just kind of publisher management. So I think that a lot of I think that those three studios are interesting cases in terms of the way that they've all kind of managed to kind of progress along this path.
We possibly have another model. Sounds like it's more of a model like the record industry is going to. Is that?
It would be nice, I think. I mean, the record industry's got problems right now for sure, but just the idea of it being more possible for developers to own their own IP and find alternative methods of distribution, I think is something that needs to happen in the games industry.
It sounds like that might happen sooner than later, at least from the trends. I just want to thank you very much for coming on and sharing your insight and for that song, because that's really made my year.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to have offered that.
If people want to hear more from you again, where do we go?
Idlethumbs.net or .com is our weekly audio show, our weekly podcast. I also write for Gamasutra.com, which is a game industry oriented site. So I've got my own blog at chrisremo.com, but I don't update it all too much. So
I've got all those links actually, and I'll be putting them up. I can't wait to go over there and listen to more of your music.
Great. Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank
Remo.
You, Chris.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much, sir. That's the story behind Senor Super Douche. We never did find out though from Chris why it was Spanish.
I mean, maybe he didn't want to even give him that promotion.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe there's an interesting idea.
Ouch.
You know, the funny thing was, and I didn't mention it when he was here, is the fact that Noah had been, I think it was in June, had been bad-mouthing Gearbox's Brothers in Arms, if I'm not mistaken, saying that it wasn't in the same league.
Yeah. Yep.
Was that?
There's
that
been
right?
A lot of battles between IW and Gearbox, and I think they've had people posting. Yeah, I've seen Randy trash them. Randy Pitchford, the CEO of Gearbox. I mean, there's been bad blood between IW and Gearbox for a long time.
Yes,
so I don't know how Freyarch fits into it.
So the only comment I was going to make was that, you know, 402's rant has to be put in perspective, you know, of Noah's rant back in June, and wondering if these guys are kind of learning that, you know, doing this out in public is not a great thing. You know, if you ever go on devsongames.com, which a lot of the developers do, you'll see a lot of the developers on both teams, both the Brothers in Arms and Entreric, basically apologizing to each other. I mean, it's kind of interesting.
But the difference is that this is one company, IW, and Gearbox, whereas, you know, if I was Activision, I'd be sitting Treyarch and IW down and say, guys, you're making us look bad. It's crazy.
Right. But again, that was from one dev to a different dev. When you start, you know, talking that intercompany talk in public,
yeah,
you know, you got to be careful. You know, you just got to show your age. It just doesn't show your maturity. And then, you know, the rants that he does with his Twitter accounts, and it's almost like, you know, it just shows the mature level of Rob. It seems like he's trying to impress the console kids. That's what it seems like. That's the way he talks.
Yeah, it seems like they all are.
But if you notice, you know, and I'm not doing this because Josh is listening to me right now, but you don't hear that crap from Josh. You know,
exactly.
You know. So you can do it professionally, you can do it well. And I'm not, you know, trying to single him out or whatever, but I'm just saying, you know, there's ways to do things and just act professionally, and, you know, people will have a lot of respect for you. Right now, it's hard to take somebody serious, you know, that does that type of thing, or, you know, shows us his, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it's the type of thing you'd want to do as a director, I guess, of... He's a director now at IW. Yeah, I forgot what he is.
Supposedly. Yeah. But the problem is, hey, I understand. You want to smack talk. You want to talk freely. That's fine. It's the internet. But when you're doing that with the name 402, which everyone knows is the community manager for IW, you just got to have the smarts to say, hey, you know, maybe I'll have my own Twitter account, and I'll talk like that, or I'll say things personally on my personal account, but under 402, I need to show some professionalism, and, you know, I'm representing my company here in public.
We're going to skip ahead now because we've been joined by Jeff, aka Jeffy X1. I've seen you go by Jeffy, but from gotfrag.com. ladies and gentlemen, it's Jeff, the I guess you're the Call of Duty 4 section head, I guess, now at Godfrag, right, Jeff?
Yes. Just moved over and started doing that stuff.
Well, congratulations. And
thank you.
You're here to talk to us about this long-awaited Godfrag COD 4 PC tournament, right?
Yeah, that's right. I know we had originally set up a Call of Duty 4 tournament a few months ago, and with Call of Duty 5 coming out, you know, that was all anticipated, so we switched it over, but now we're back, Call of Duty 4, and we're getting ready to host the tournament. So
right, I mean, it was initially, this particular tournament was originally proposed as sort of like the coming out party for Call of Duty World at War, but then got shelled because I guess the community felt that, you know, they wanted to stick with 4, right?
Well, actually, we started off with Call of Duty 4, and we even opened up signups and everything, but after, I think, a week of signups, we only had three players signed up, not even three teams. And basically, we looked at things and we said, okay, well, maybe with Call of Duty 5 coming out, everyone's decided that they're going to wait for that with the anticipation of that game. So we switched it over, and seeing how things are going with that game, and it seems like it's not really ready, and the community wasn't really getting behind that game, we switched it back, and that's where we are now.
Yeah, well, at least it was split. There were some people that I think wanted to see World at War. Certainly, I did at the time. I think I was certainly a backer of it. The community wanted to go to COD 2 at some point, and then everybody switched to 4. At least Steve-O did, and everybody else followed. Today is the deadline, right, for registrations, the 4th?
That's right. Midnight tonight, we're shutting down registrations.
Now, this is an open tournament, so if there's anybody listening to us in our forums that forgot about the Godfrag tournament, we've got Optimal Gamers out there. Hey, guys, if you want to you want to join up, you've got a couple of hours. But this is a S&D 5v5?
Yes, Search and Destroy. So.
And you're playing with a damn mod, right?
That's right.
Any
particular? Hey, what a coincidence.
Yeah, there's a coincidence. We just set up a server for the damn mod. That's interesting. and I think you limited it to 32 teams. Your start date was what?
Well, the tournament's going to start on the 6th. So registration closing tonight. Tournament starts on the 6th.
How many? Give us an idea of some of the names that you've got coming into the tournament.
So far, we got Pandemic, some of the bigger names, I guess we'll say Pandemic, MOB, MOB Deep is supposed to sign up tonight, X3O and Pure, and we also have Fnatic and ATS, some European teams getting into the action.
So. Oh, wow, cool. So how do you handle the Fnatic games, for example? I mean, what kind of pings are they going to have?
Yeah, well, I was looking at that, and when I was coming up with the rules for it, I said, you know, I mean, it's really hard to have an online event with, you know, Europeans and North Americans. So what I did is I said, you know, any European matches, they can request a Eastern U.S. server. So at least it's, you know, they'll probably ping in the range from high 80s to, you know, 120. It's, you know, it's going to be pretty bad, but it's the best we can do.
We got to get Clan Wars is in the audience. We got to get them to open up a server farm somewhere in the Azores.
Yeah.
In the Azores. They do have Iceland, multiple server farms over in the UK, though.
Oh, is that right? Okay. But I guess our pings would be pretty crappy. So I didn't hear the word EG in there anywhere. I guess EG hasn't signed up yet?
Yeah. Well, I actually, when I was going through the rules and setting everything up, I talk to people in the community before I do any of this. You know, I'll admit I'm new and I don't know, you know, always what the right choices are. So I've been in conference with all the top teams, and one of those teams is EG, of course. And you know, they were very excited. They wanted to get in to it, but you know, they were a little slow with getting registered, and I've been hounding them all week. And you know, they finally said, you know, listen, we're really not sure if we're going to even continue playing Call of Duty, so they're not going to sign up for this one. So,
well,
a little bit disappointing, but
Yeah, I heard they're sitting on the fence and certainly waiting for the community. At least that's the comment that I got from Rob that I posted. That's a shame if that is true. How will we be able to follow the teams now on the Gottfrag site, I guess? Just go to Gottfrag and we'll be able to sort of see what's going on.
Yeah, just you go over to Gottfrag.com. With the tournament going on, we'll have stuff all over the front page. But if you want to read more Call of Duty stuff, we have a whole section dedicated for everything Call of Duty.
Fantastic. Will the games be shoutcasted, or will there be demos available for us to watch?
Well, I'm actually in the process right now of looking at the different shoutcasters and trying to organize something like that. And as far as demos are concerned, how the rules are lined up, all the players have to hang on to their demos, you know, make sure there's no cheating going on. And with that, Gottfrag has open access to any of those demos. So if there's a good individual player performance, we'll get that demo and we'll put it up.
Oh, that'd be great. Because like I was saying to you off air here, there's just not enough Call of Duty 4 or Call of Duty period demos out there to watch. And I think at least in North America, we're kind of starved. I think Southeast Asia, believe it or not, when those guys play, certainly in Australia, I think that a lot of them put up the demos. But for some reason, North America and Europe, we don't see a lot of them. So certainly would push you to do that. That'd be great. Last time I looked, I think you had about 20 people signed up.
Yeah, right now we have 21 on there, but there's some issues with registration. So unofficially, we have 22, and out of those, maybe 18 are officially completely signed up and eligible.
I was sort of polling a sort of typical CVOP type, you know, level of players recently. Some of them have come back saying that, you know, you guys would have gotten a little bit more registrations if there wasn't this feeling that some people have that maybe Gottfrag hadn't supported COD as strongly as they could have. At least that's the feeling that some people have said to me. Do you see any reason that there could be some truth in that, or why aren't more teams coming in, or is it just COD4? There isn't a huge desire to play COD4 anymore.
Well, I mean, I haven't really had much of that, whereas people have said, oh, you know, since it's Gottfrag hosting, we're not really interested. I mean, Gottfrag.com started as a Counter-Strike site. We know it. Everybody knows it. And it's pretty natural that someone would get the feeling that Call of Duty has been on a back burner. But in reality, over the past year, Call of Duty has been one of our main goals to try to build up that community. I mean, I can't speak for whoever was doing this before me, but I'm just starting over, so right now it's just I'm doing this all by myself, so I'm trying to get people to volunteer. It's a community site, ultimately, so you need volunteers for that sort of thing. It's not, I know it's easy for some people to say, oh, you know, Gottfrag is this big money machine, but in reality it's not like that, you know? So, I mean, I know right now, for the North Americans at least, there's very few options for them for coverage in the sense of what Gottfrag does. I know popular site that they go to, Tech9, and they also use Cal forums. But, I mean, there's really no reason in my mind where if we can build up the community and get everybody involved, I mean, if you want an event covered, you know, come to me, talk to me.
Well, I've already noticed a big difference. I mean, you bring a certain energy to the party that hasn't been there before. So I'm really happy that you're here doing this.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
If there's one small thing that I can add, I do read the forums there a lot. I like them. They're easy. They're simple to read. But in the last year or so, maybe even a bit longer, I'd say they don't look like they're moderated very well, and they tend to just turn into chaos. The conversation, the threads turn into absolute total chaos. I wish they were a bit more heavily moderated. I think your site would look a little bit better. But
I think you make a really good point with that. Actually, about a year ago, exactly, we kind of took this idea where instead of moderating the forums really heavily and taking this, you know, Big Brother approach, because people would say, you know, we can't go on Gottfrag and say what we need to say. They're always getting in our way. They're always saying, you know, you can't talk about that on our site. So we said, you know what? We'll put this system in, the fragged system, where you can do plus minus on things. And admittedly, that when you give that much, I guess, freedom, so to speak, I don't know, I don't really want to sound like, you know, this is a dictatorship. It's a community site, you know. But if you give that much, you can expect that trolls are going to take over. So at least on my end, what I've kind of seen is that with all that crap, so to speak, on the forums, what I've done is I've found people in Call of Duty who are interested in moderating. And I said, listen, you know, here are the rules. Don't nuke anything just because you don't agree with it. But nuke all the crap, you know. And I mean, there are people like
and please take out if I see one more post that says NA greater than EU, I swear to God, I'm gonna eat my shoes.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what are you gonna do? There's always gonna be that stuff. This is a
hit the delete button.
Community,
hit the delete button. That's what I'm saying. What to do. Listen, thank you very much for coming on, explaining this to us. It's going to be January the 6th. I'm going to start going to Gottfrag right away to see what teams are up there. It's 5v5, best of three games, double elimination, search and destroy, damn mod. You've got Crash, Strike, City Streets, Backlot, Vacant, and Crossfire. It's going to be really interesting to see if we can rebuild the COD4 community. Certainly, we saw the rise, the fall, and now the re-rise of COD4. It'll be interesting to see if we can continue the momentum. And I wanted to thank you very much, Jeff. Finally got you on, man.
Thank
hey,
you,
Jeff,
man. I appreciate it.
I have a question for you before you take off. I'm sorry. This is Rude Dog, and I was just wondering, with, you know, going back to Call of Duty 4, have you had any luck getting IW or Activision to try to help and try to promote these tourneys for the Call of Duty franchise?
It's really funny that you asked that. When we announced registration was open, you know, there's not much that I can do as far as approaching companies directly. I don't have those sort of contacts, but what I did do is I went on every single forum that I knew that had a Call of Duty community anywhere near it, and I just posted. I mean, I didn't spam. I just said, hey, listen, this is a Gottfrag tournament, and I mean, I was amazed to see that IW removed my post. You know, it was kind of disappointing.
Oh, you gotta love it.
Wait. I gotta interject here. Like MLG, you know, the big console league, and you read 4202 posts about, you know, their national tournaments and all that crap all over the place, right?
Yeah.
MLG owns Gottfrag.
That's right. Yep.
So you'd think that, and I'm not blaming you, but you'd think somebody there would have some connection with Activision, who's, you know, totally promoting the console side of things with MLG to, you know, hook you guys up on the PC side. But as we say, they don't.
It baffles me the lack of support that they offer, especially, you know, this is, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a community type player. I'm sorry, I'm not a competitive type player. But you would think that this is a big opportunity and a very easy opportunity for, you know, for FaceTime for whole other demographics. And they just, I don't know, they just kick it aside like everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty disappointing to see that, but I don't know why they would do that. You know, anytime you have a competitive community, it's always going to do great things for your game. You know, these are the people that follow. You know, I mean, I know there's this whole thing about the masses and how they buy every single Call of Duty game that comes out, and that's great. But there's always going to be that competitive community that they have needs. You know, you have World of War comes out and you can't even record demos. I mean, that's like pretty big slap in the face to the competitive guys. It's one of the things you need, you know. So, I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of things that, you know, that's a whole other topic. On World of War.
So you posted on InfinityWard.com's forums and your post was just deleted? No ifs, ands, or buts? No PM? No nothing? Just gone?
Nothing. I checked it back the next day to see, you know, if anybody had any questions or anything, and just gone. Whew,
I'm just amazed because you're technically an MLG employee, and they really tight with you guys as far as COD4 on the console side. So to do
That just makes me think that it was not an IW employee, but maybe one of the community and forum moderators that thought it, you know, without knowing, thought maybe it was just a bit of spam and wiped it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure, and I don't really, I'm in my own Gotfrag box, you know, I don't really cross the lines between Gotfrag and MLG, so I don't know exactly what sort of lines of communication we have with Activision or any of that, but don't have an answer.
Was that the only website that you got, that you either got deleted, your post got deleted?
You know, I really am not sure. I made, you know, maybe 20 or 30 different forum posts, but that one stuck out. I said, yeah, this is crazy. You know, this is their game.
Yeah, I was wondering how Cal treated you, actually.
Oh, well, yeah, actually, if you want to talk about that.
There's a leading question.
There's another one that I posted on that got removed, but, you know, I guess there's a little bit of bad blood there, and it's kind of sad to see because we – As Gotfrag, you know, we started off just covering Cal, and that was one of our thing. We covered Cal, we covered CPL, and you know, you have a group of staff members, and you know, there's not that much time to devote. So when a league like SIVO comes out and takes, you know, the top half of Cal Invite, and they move over to SIVO and are exclusive to SIVO. You know, and if you have to make the choice between which league you cover, you know, it stinks to do, but, you know, it's one of those things. If the choice came up, we had to switch, you know, and it's just one of those things that, you know, I guess the Cal guys are still upset. But as far as Call of Duty is concerned, I'm just starting off and I have no problem announcing Cal tournaments. You know, I might not have the time to put up the coverage that they would want, but, you know, it's a shame because this tournament really has the potential to really add something to this community, and to see someone who is involved in this community, you know, get rid of my post that could potentially reach people that normally wouldn't have seen it is just, I don't know, it's upsetting, you know?
Well, I certainly understand the feeling. Back when we had Charlie Oscar Delta, I think I put a posting of a webcast that I did on Call of Duty, and of course my profile was deleted and banned. I was banned from Charlie Oscar Delta. So I understand the feeling, and on the other hand, don't understand why they would do that. It's sort of like, you know, we're part of the machine that sort of feeds the beast, and why would you want to stop that from happening? So,
but Jock, I think the biggest problem with that is that they have a lot of immature people helping, or so-called helping them out, and it's those people that are just jumping to conclusion that are on their little power trips that just feel like, oh, it's someone we don't know or something that we don't agree with, well, so let's wipe it.
In without, that case, I invite them on the damn server that we have.
Yeah.
So I can ban them.
Of which, we have a few in the IRC channel as we speak. But anyways, you know, with Jeff here and the Gotfrag, you know, website and whatnot, I know a couple of us here, well, all of us here, have, you know, some relationships with some of those guys at Infinity Ward and Treyarch. So, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I know for me personally, you ever need to get in touch with any of them, let me know. I'd be happy to help.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yep. And I just sent him my contact info also to see if I can help move something along.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad you guys can help Jeff. As I said, you're sort of new at the position, and I know you're going to do a great job. I'm looking forward to see what is going to happen with Gotfrag. I know that the coverage in COD4 is in good hands with you, and I'm looking forward to the tournament. And good luck to all the participants, especially our friend Nabor, who's going to be partaking in that tournament. So good luck to everybody. And thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, Jeff.
Bye. Yeah, thanks.
See you.
Let's go back and talk about what the heck is going on in Call of Duty. State of the Call of Duty Union. How did the franchise do this year? Was it an up year or was it a down year? remember all the way back to January of 2008, all the way till December. What do you guys think? Oh,
I think my judgment is clouded after November.
After that last beer,
that was too much Corona. Too much Corona. Any thoughts? Did you guys think that it was a rollicking year, or was it?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because, you know, the big newsmaker of 2008 didn't come until November, and, you know, can you really say that was part of 2008? And they still have some work cut out for them before you can really say, you know, how it really affected the game. You know, we can only go on, you know, the beginning of 2008 and what COD4 did.
Well, yeah, exactly, which is kind of where I was leading up to in more of a pun intended way.
Business aside, I thought there was something to worry about, I think, by the time fall got here, when COD4 kind of lost steam. I mean, maybe it's because of the fact that COD4 rocketed so quickly up the charts. It also came precipitously down those charts, not as fast, but it certainly it lost a lot of steam in the fall, and a lot of people stopped playing it, like myself, for example, and maybe Call of Duty World at War just wasn't around long enough to, you know, to get that oomph back. But I thought the COD franchise not would say depressing, but it was kind of a down year towards the end. Overall, it was a happening year, certainly at the beginning of it. But I thought it ended kind of on a bad note. Don't you think? In terms of the fact that we have a bit of a split community, everybody's playing a different version of Call of Duty. I have to have like three versions of Call of Duty on my machine now to stay in touch with all the people.
I can remember the early days of Call of Duty when you wanted the expansion pack, you know, which we were used to from the Medal of Honor days. Well, we wanted something new. We wanted something fresh. And Activision has basically given that to us now, especially the PC community with Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty 5, Modern World at War, and now the announcement of Call of Duty 6. But then if you really stop and look at it, it fragments the community so much. And, you know, right now we're kind of, you know, I love World at War, but let's be honest, there are some issues there that we're waiting for the developers to come back from vacation to hopefully jump on and fix that.
So you can't have your cake and eat it too, is what you're telling me, basically.
Exactly. And in a way, for some reason, personally, I move on to a game, it's really hard for me to go back, and I think that's just me getting older, and I don't like to go back to something that, you know, I enjoyed, and I enjoyed Call of Duty 4. However, you know, I have a passion of the World War II setting. However, there's some issues with World at War, but it's like, you know, they want us to move forward, but you got to look at it and say, hey, you know, you're going to fragment the community, and it's basically giving us what we want, and we're paying for it.
Let's get to the business side really quick, and this is probably where everybody falls asleep, but there's a lot of interesting things that actually went in the business side. Video games are a really big business. Like I said, $50 billion this year. From what I've been able to gather, there's 40% more shelf space nowadays to video games than there were last year. Sales were up 10% from even just a few months ago this Christmas season. But here's the kicker. From what I've read, polls are indicating of buyers that they're less likely to buy unknown titles. So all the stuff that we were talking to Chris about, and in terms of, you know, new producers, new faces on the scene, they're less likely to buy unknown titles. So is it a surprise that Activision now is going to focus on maximizing its profits from top-selling franchises, like, you know, Call of Duty? And so obviously they're going to try to do whatever they can to use their intellectual property and spin off as much from it as possible. Is that necessarily a good thing for us?
They got to pay the CEO salary of $14 million a year.
I don't think it's a good thing for us. I mean, I think they're in a way trying to rip off the EA, you know, Madden sports model, but, you know, that has different players, and, you know, yeah, they make tweaks to the game a little bit, but, you know, one EA from one year to the other, there's not a huge amount of change.
Yeah, absolutely.
But people buy it, and people are buying the COD ones, so they're making their money. You know, what it does to, you know, the competitor side of the house and the, you know, the guys that have been around a long, long time, I don't know.
Yeah, this is probably why I said it kind of ended to me on a down note. I can almost even kind of pinpoint the day, and I'll talk about one of my events of the year was the day that Activision and Blizzard kind of got together. Because, you know, first of all, I mean, that was, I guess, a good thing if you were a shareholder. You know, back in 91, I think Activision was making $600 million a year in margin. It's now, I think, almost $5 billion. I said that with a B, as a merged entity with Blizzard. But that merger has brought a whole new way of thinking. It's now a big player, in the biggest player in the gaming world, and that has that focuses attention slightly differently on properties like Call of Duty. You know, you look back on 2008, they had 90% or so increase in revenue over 2007 just on Call of Duty. And obviously, you know, COD4 sold well. I think it was 11 million units or something of that nature. I don't know if I think
well,
I'm pretty sure that number's right.
Was the 11 million units cross-platform, or was it
everywhere,
just, are you just talking PC?
No, I think everywhere. PC. Yeah,
cross-platform. Well,
yeah, but see, Call of Duty 4 was the first cross-platform of the Call of Duty series, wasn't it?
No, 2. 2 was the first one that was 360 and PC. I don't know if they did other platforms, but remember that was the first launch of the first.
Yeah,
certainly multi-platform, if you want to look at it.
Yeah, COD 2 was two platforms, and then COD 3 was one platform, and then COD 4 was multi-platform.
Yep.
From listening in on the shareholder call in September. Talked about
and you
this.
Didn't fall asleep?
No. There's a lot of interesting things in it, actually. And to me, was why they used the studio leapfrog strategy, which is, I guess, obvious. But the guy actually did mention. He says he wants to. Bobby Kotick, the Activision CEO, said that he wants to keep the studio leapfrog strategy. So he still wants to have a Treyarch and IW, because it takes more than a year to develop a game. He wants to try to maximize that. So that's, from our perspective, that means that we're going to continue having Call of Duty games or something at least once a year, sounds like.
And look at it this way too, Jack, that if, you know, I think Treyarch really, you know, showed the customer and Activision, the parent company, that they can pull off a good, you know, again, there are some issues and people are going to remind me of that, but that, you know, Treyarch can pull off a good version of Call of Duty. So now if they got two really good developers flip-flopping it, you know, granted we get even more fragmented, we get a game every year. And if one developer or the other developer gives them a problem or doesn't come through 1 year, then
it's the same strategy. Exactly, it's the same strategy that the U.S. Government uses in military bidding.
Yep.
It's been proven as a.
It's brilliant. It's a business decision.
And given the fact, you know, that you hear stuff like, you know, 402 giving the other guys heck, you know, it is showing that there is a value or merit in it, because it does show that these guys are actually in competition with each other. It's not like they're just in one big company. So it actually might be helping up Activision. Again, if you're a shareholder, certainly you're going to see, if you're a shareholder, you're not doing that well, because it was like $17.50 in August, and I think it's $8 right now. So, but that's due to the recession more so than anything Activision did. But anyway, the other thing, and I don't want to bore too many people, but here, listen to what he said. He said, IP boundaries are expandable, meaning that he's saying that we can make more games or more, you know, versions of the same title. IP boundaries are expandable. And he says, there's the consumer base is growing, appetite for more online play. They want to explore more online monetization.
I think we've been saying that since 2001.
Right. And isn't that kind of interesting, eh? He says, 75...
Even especially more now with the, you know, the state of the U.S.'s economy.
Yeah, more people staying
home.
People
are not going out. They're staying at home.
They're staying home. 75% of all purchasers who, listen to this, 75% of all purchasers are playing COD 4 online. 75%. So
why
do they spend?
Interesting number.
So why do they spend 90% of the time doing the SP and, like, you know, whatever on the multiplayer?
You know what? It could turn into a Battlefield series where they focus on the multi. You know, for us, we all enjoy the multiplayer side of it, and it could, you know, it could eventually go that way. And I think, you know, we'd all enjoy more, you know, them spending more time on the multiplayer and giving us more multiplayer content and hopefully better support and more features.
Well, he's saying, you know, Activision wants to focus more on the downloadable content, and just count how many times that Josh uses the word DLC in his posts. I can see that, you know, that's coming from right from the top. They want to focus on DLC even more. They think that the multiplayer component is why they can continue to sell the games at the original. This is key. Why they can, like, if you go into a, like, you know, whatever, Walmart, whatever, Call of Duty 4 is now priced almost the exact same price that it was when it first came out. They're saying that the multiplayer component is why they can continue to sell the games at the original release price. Very, very interesting. It's because of multiplayer.
I think that we've been saying since, again, 2001, and they're just catching up to the customers now. However, it's interesting to see that Activision has cut all their prices. I was in Target the other day, and Call of Duty 5 and a handful of other titles from Activision is now, for the console side of it, is $39, $40, which is interesting in itself.
Yeah, but yet Call of Duty 4 is now back up, and I think, I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, walking a tight line here, but maybe it's because of the custom content that comes out afterwards.
Hey, well, give them time. Give them a couple more years, Jerk. They'll realize that, you know, the community can offer them free content so that they can keep selling their boxes.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a 10%. Remember, you're thinking PC. That's like 10% of this.
Well,
it's a downloadable content that you're getting that you have to pay for that might be bringing some of these guys back. And they do say that they want to produce more DLC because they think they're going to get more money. Once the guy's bought it, he wants more. I mean,
you also think the DLC part of it is a way for them to circumvent the used console games being sold at the GameStops?
Keeping the price high.
But you know, the other thing too is you know, you'd mentioned them 90% of the time focusing on single player, and maybe they'll move to focus more on the multiplayer aspect of it. You know, when I was out at IW at the beginning of 2008, after our after the release and whatnot, they're going to have a hard time getting above and beyond those developers. Those developers are focused strictly on single player. They're not really focused on multiplayer. That seems to be more of an afterthought.
You know, people are going to go where the money is. And if they find that they can put advertising in the games, put advertising in online game play.
We've seen that in several other titles as well. I remember distinctly seeing a Subway ad. You know, for the Subway sandwich restaurant.
Exactly. I have three letters for you. WOW.
Right. You know? I mean, let's face it. Single player now, I mean, they used to be 40 hours. Now it's like 12. Whereas 12, we practically spent 12 hours last weekend on multiplayer in one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you guys seen the Xbox numbers for the total hours or total minutes played and the top 10 list? You know, World of Warcraft is at almost 19 million minutes played. Now, granted, let's clarify. This is Xfire people. These are people that have Xfire clients. You know, they have 12 million registered users, and I've always been skeptical of their numbers. However, they show World of Warcraft at 19 million minutes played. Call of Duty 4 is number 2 at almost 12.5 million, and then Call of Duty 2 at close to 8 million. Call of Duty World at War is down, I believe, at number 5 with close to 3 million minutes played. So right there, it's saying that, you know, next to, you know, World of Warcraft and not far behind, there's an awful lot of people still playing Call of Duty 4 multiplayer.
Do you think that maybe those numbers have something to do with the fact that, you know, that Treyarch still has some work to do with World at War, and maybe people are going back to it? I mean,
I think so, because there's a lot of we have a tunnel vision in our community. We're looking at our community sites, our own sites, sites of other people within the community, and we see, hey, people are going to bitch and moan, but we're the more passionate people playing this. I like to tend to go off the beaten path to hardware review sites, other non Call of Duty focused sites, and see what they're saying about it. And there is a lot of people talking about being frustrated with Call of Duty World at War, and they're going back to Call of Duty 4. You know, so it's hard to deny right now. Hopefully, you know, when patches come out and you get a lot of people that are coming in from the Christmas rush that are getting a little frustrated, you know, we'll see something change in that. But again, I like to look outside our little close-knit community to see what real people are saying about the game, or non-passion, not the, you know, I think we're a little, we tend to go overboard with the game sometimes.
Well, nevertheless, from a business perspective, these guys did well, and that's what I really wanted to come and say.
Without a doubt.
I don't think there's any doubt in that.
Let's move on to something that we hold near and dear to our hearts, and that's on the community side of things and how we did as a community. I'm looking at the best mods for 2008, Call of Duty best mods for 2008. We've got lots of examples.
Okay, here's where I'll mute my mic.
That's, I've got a lot of examples. I mean, we've got the ACE mod, the AWE4 DAM, the Tactical Realism mod, EXTR, FK Mod 4. These are all contenders. Frontlines, Gun Game, Heat of Battle 4, Modern Paintball, PEM 4, Pro Mod, Tactical Knight, X4, Zombie. Oh my God, I mean, I can go on and on. I have to admit, X4 has a special place in my heart. That's Joker's over there at my Call of Duty because of the atomic weapon. I mean, how many games have an atomic weapon? Come on.
Nuclear weapon. Nuclear weapon. Come on.
Okay, nuclear.
Or how many other games have the AC-130? Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to mute my mic. Sorry.
Because I just want to hear you say nuclear instead of nuclear.
How can you forget the Redeemer from... You guys know the Redeemer, right?
No.
Unreal Tournament 99, the Redeemer. Oh, wow. It's a nuke that, like, blasts everything. It's awesome.
Right. Okay, so...
And it's also 1999.
on Steam. So Joker, do you? I know that you have a special place as well in your heart for X4, but your mod aside, what caught your attention in 2008?
You know, in 2008, not counting X4 just because I'm biased, I would have to say Shy Blue's work on the tactical realism caught a very special interest with me. The SWAT type gameplay, the focus is on the realism aspect of it. That caught a very, you know, that caught my attention.
Anybody else?
Well, mine's a little different. I don't want to say what caught my attention was any specific mod. I must give props to Treyarch for releasing the mod tools rather quickly, however, botching the mod tools even quicker. I think it was very impressive that they got those out there, but not without a lot of problems. And I think that was probably the biggest thing that, from my standpoint, from an admin standpoint, for mods.
We're still at the same place Infinity Ward was at, though, in terms of relatively speaking. I mean, let's face it, right? Though,
right. Or you could release tools broken out of the gate, or you could wait and release them 6 months down the line.
We're in the same spot,
right? You're in the same spot,
right?
And I still don't agree that they're mod tools. I mean, they're mapping tools,
right?
What Valve gives you for Half-Life 2. Is mod tools. You can modify source code. I mean,
well, exactly. I mean, yeah, going back to Infinity Ward's COD 4 mod tools, they called them mapping and mod tools, but we quickly ended up writing our own CMD in order to create our FF and do all that stuff, which we're going to do with COD World at War anyways.
you go down the list though of these mods, and one thing does I can say something about each one, but ACE and AWE were most solid mods out there. Again, I'm excluding X4 and any bias, but ACE and AWE were one of the most solid mods that we had in the community. These things were near enough professional, in some cases probably even more professional than the stuff that we got from, in this case, IW, because these are Call of Duty 4 mods. However, having said that, I don't know if they added anything to COD4. COD4 was such a difficult game to try to trump as opposed to COD2. I mean, the mods made COD2, but in COD4, I don't know if the mods really did anything that really augmented the game, at least those two, or what people did with them. I don't know if they really augmented the game. I played ACE and AWE a lot because I'm a CTF player. I mean, we got CTF, but CTF was such a loser on COD4. Even those mods didn't help it. Pro Mod, you could say, was incredible because it showed what the community could do, but look at where we're at now. The community's left it aside, so I'm not sure if that has had a lasting thing. So I'd have to go to maybe Frontlines, because, by a Brazilian modder named Hayas, and he's come up with something called Frontlines, which has an epic quality to it. It's a campaign system, not just a mod. I thought Frontlines was something special of all the mods that came out, although there are some tremendous mods that did come out from some of the earliest ones, like the Tactical Knight, which is something that I sort of disappeared, which I loved, from Zeroy to Gun Game, something as simple as Gun Game I thought was hilarious. It was a great game. We then go to most innovative mod in 2008. Anything on the innovative side, Joker? Anything that's, like, to me, the tactical nuke is innovative. It's the first time we had a nuke. So I would certainly put you up for that one. But like I said, if I can't vote for that, is there anything else that...
Yeah, again, I fall back on the tactical realism mod with their innovative sense of trying to keep things more realistic from... you know, everything from, you know, when you think about the realism aspect of it and what the SWAT, the police SWAT team does, they don't go around spraying an MP5 all over the place. They shoot iron sights. They shoot down the sight. And that's what the...
But what's innovative, but what's technologically innovative about it? This is sort of where I'm coming at.
Yeah, technologically innovative is, you know, you can only shoot down the sight. Otherwise, you get punished for it. You know, I mean, I'm thinking more of the scripting side of it. The things that Shai Blue did with the tactical realism mod, to me, was innovative enough. The anti-run feature, the anti-hip shooting feature, things like that. But cool. But again, I'm talking more from the modding aspect.
No, I understand. No, that's what I wanted you to explain to us, because from the user point of view, from my point of view, to me, the most innovative mod, was Crazy Ankle's Paintball. Because yeah. I thought it was just the most unbelievable twist to Call of Duty 4 to turn it into a paintball game. And I know it's been done in other mods, but I just, for at least in our modding community, I haven't seen anything that beats it in terms of innovative total conversion, you know, craziness. It was great. I know the zombie mod, a lot of people would put the zombie mod certainly right up there, but for me it was paintball. Well, let's move on. I'm going to talk about competitive gaming. Garrett Jackson.
The stuff that happened in Europe was great. The three big tournaments, and it was great to see the Americans kick butt. We won't get into the EU over America. I love them all. It's gaming that's supposed to win here. So I thought those tournaments were great. I watched a lot of them. You know, as you did, and it was painful to watch some of the matches as far as technology wise. But it was really great to see. And then, like you said, it's happened time again. You know, the summer tournaments are over. A new game's coming out. Everybody, let's take a break and sit and see what this new game is like. There goes, you know, the community for a while.
So do we have a future in COD competitive gaming? Realistically, is there any point in continuing? I mean...
Realistically, I think in order for it to happen, they're going to have to pick a game and live with it, no matter what comes out. Unless something comes out really, really amazing, I think they need to this is the game, and this is the game we're going to play for the next 2 years, regardless of what comes out. And I think they have to do that.
That brings up a good question, Mike, in regards to competitive players. You know, we're looking at the Call of Duty franchise where a new game is coming out every 12 months. I assume it takes those guys a little bit longer to settle in, to get things down to where they feel they want to compete, because, you know, for most of the professional guys, they're it's costing them money to compete.
Yeah, well, the thing is, COD is, I mean, the highlight of competitive gaming is for COD is still COD 1. I mean, that's the only time that I know of that teams were getting salaries, serious salaries. At least players were getting, like, you know, four figures a season to play in Cal, pre-SIBO. And once that, you know, once that got destroyed by COD 2 coming out, as far as I know, none of these, even EG, Pandemic, none of those guys are getting that kind of money anymore. Versus, you know, what, you know, the guys in Counter-Strike gets, on the better teams, get six figures.
Are they still seeing that with this economy?
Well, it's some of the money. The money's a little bit less, but the money's still there. I mean, Intel. I think you might have mentioned it, Jocker. I read someplace Intel is behind EG now, which right.
All I know is that your former group is now with EG.
Yeah.
Complexity.
Yes.
Complexity's now an EG property.
Yes.
They're the American
and the rumor is because the Intel's behind it, and the owner of Complexity, you know, he never really pulled off a sponsor like that. I mean, the guy, you know, bought them basically a mansion in Texas, their own house. They all lived in it. I mean, really, really nice house. They need to go. Nobody in America was good enough to play with them. Off they go to Europe, puts them up for some boot camping over there. I mean, he spared no expenses. So it's. I feel bad for Jason Lake, their former owner, but that's what happens.
I really don't see competitive COD4 gaming. Certainly, I see it staying where it's at. I know there's a lot of new startups recently in our own community, journalistic startups, things like Insider Esports, etc., who are coming in. And Gottfrag has obviously hired Jeff to try to pump up COD4 news in competitive gaming. But until we can get Okay, you know where I'm coming from. Until we can get something where the average person can just flick a button and start to see some of these games, this sport is always going to be second tier.
Yes, I know, and I agree. But also, you know, we had two, you know, we had like two ESPNs. We had TSN that did the shoutcasting and Radio ITG, and Intel and NVIDIA backed them both. They flew them everywhere. And, you know, so they could afford to cover even the smaller lands. And we don't have that right now for whatever reason.
NVIDIA is not going to be doing it because they're hurting for money themselves now.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to save this comment for one of my predictions, but right off of SK Gaming's site from an esport writer there, and he says the following. He says, the biggest, most important change, and he's talking about CS. Why did CS make it big? The biggest, most important change that ever happened to CS came back in 2001 with the invention of HLTV. Sorry to keep harping on about spectators, but it's the truth. The money system alteration was nice. The new guns in 1.6 were kind of useful, but it was HLTV, that's Half-Life TV, that made Counter-Strike and made Western esports possible.
Yep.
Right. But until there's some type of return on investment for Activision, EA, and all these others, I don't think they don't care, unfortunately.
But you know what? They can throw out last year or the year before now $250 million in advertising to get a good right. TV, 10 grand, 20 grand, not even that. Actually, they don't even need that. They just need to put the code I needed from COD1 into COD4, it'll cost them $50.
Right, and that's the problem that I you know, and I apologize, Mike, for forgetting that they got people like you in the community that'll do it for them. You know, you guys need a hook here or there. You know,
no,
maybe,
but then they
maybe
need,
half a day of
but
work.
Then they come back and they tell me, the guys in these companies tell me that, no, it's not going to cost them $50. It's going to cost them thousands because what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to QA all these changes.
And how many changes are they going to have to QA? They put one or two hooks in there that they're not going to support. It's going to be Garrett Jacks, and it's a private entity. It's a custom mod, quote unquote. So, you know, it's like, do they really – they don't want to make an effort, it seems.
Why can't – just?
But they did it before, though. That's the thing. They did it for that summer CPL. An Activision – an IW programmer made the changes, actually made a custom version of COD1, you know, custom DDL and EXE just for the tournament. I mean, they really cared back then. Right. I mean, and it's dealing with demo code, not something that's really going to affect gaming. So I don't know. Right. Yeah, that's the difference. Valve, the guy who made Half-Life TV, also was outside. Was a modder, and they went and then hired him, brought him in house, and you know, I mean,
and he's probably doing something totally different now.
So
yeah.
I honestly think this whole QA thing is a way for them to get away from the point, or get away from them answering the questions directly.
Okay, so but here, let me ask you a question. Three very knowledgeable guys, two certainly who are knee deep in coding. Why can't you just put a jump to in the COD 4 code if that's what it takes? Why can't you just go in there and I'm not asking you to, you know, reverse out all the source code here. I'm not asking you to do that, but I'm just saying go in the op code and just put in a jump.
You mean hack it?
Hack it. And then put out the executable, admittedly.
But then that'll break. If you're doing it for competitive only and it's a way to watch it.
You've already bought the game. It's not like we're... Right. What if we were to propose this to them and say,
well,
look...
It's a possibility.
I'm not, you know, would they allow us to do this? I'm not saying that we go and do this because I came from the flight sim community. This is exactly what happened to us. I used to play Falcon 4, and this exact problem happened to us, and we ended up having to ask permission for us to put a jump into the code. But what we did is we asked. Right. That way you stay out of trouble, you know. Anyway, but of course it means that...
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
No problem.
I got something I got to take care of with my family. And...
Okay. Well, good luck getting out of prison.
Yeah, thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks a lot. Don't drop the soap.
That's the first thing they tell you. Unless you're in Mexico.
Oh,
don't eat the guacamole.
Mexican. Okay. Oh, jeez.
Take care.
I had a great year following competitive esports, certainly in Call of Duty. I have to admit, my personal highlight was playing against Team EG in Call of Duty World at War. It was a hilarious afternoon of getting my ass handed to me. That was a lot of fun. For me, the best match in 2008, EG beating the Lowland Lions at Tex, 13-10 final score for EG. That was the one where QWERTY of Lowland Lions had an absolutely unbelievable performance. Loved seeing that. Another thing that blew my mind was watching Keith at the AEF Grand Final. Keith from Team Pandemic owning the A house there. That was hilarious. But best team in 2008, in your opinion, Garrett Jux? What do you think? Close call? Only two teams,
if
right?
If you count those three tournaments, EG did better. What do you say?
I was gonna say EG up until Pandemic won the CVOP. It seemed like Pandemic...
Yeah. But did EG just not care?
Had an undefeated season. EG had an undefeated season. How's that? And I think that, I think they went into I don't care mode. So
that takes them down, though.
You need to care.
Exactly. I probably agree with that. And I mean,
and for me,
they're both great. I mean, they both come on, you know.
Yeah, the two most professional teams and two great teams, great people. For me, like MVP, for example, I'm slightly biased, but Rob Wiz, to me, I think was instrumental in taking the wins that he took in Europe. Runner-up, Chimpe of Mobb Deep and Keith of Pandemic. That's the way I kind of sized it up. I think both those guys are amazing. And I'll let you guys fight over the next one, which is FPS Game of the Year. A lot of people like GameSpot and Game Trailers are going for these things. Like this is across all platforms. I'm talking about PC, console, but best FPS right now. GameSpot's calling for Metal Gear Solid 4, Game Trailers, Resistance 2. You guys play a lot of these things. You tell me.
I can personally say that I've played Far Cry 2, No Dawn, Call of Duty World at War, and Crisis Warhead. Personally, Call of Duty World at War because of the setting. I'm a World War II buff, and that's what I like. Close runner-up would be Crisis Warhead. With that said, from non-gaming or non-Call of Duty-specific sites, I hear a lot of praise for Left 4 Dead, and I haven't had a chance to play that yet.
I've got to go for Left 4 Dead. I mean, it's insanely fun, and you're playing with four guys, so it's like even more than Call of Duty. I mean, it forces you to play as a squad, because when one of the super zombies comes out, the only way you can kill it is if all four of you really kick your firepower together on it. And if you get overrun, your teammates got to come and clear all the zombies off you. So it's just. What's beautiful about it is it takes you about an hour to do a map, to go through it all, all the levels, and it's just fun. I mean, the other games are all retreads, and it's original, as original as original can be. You know what I mean?
Right. So in terms of
truly, go ahead.
So for Garrett Jax, it's Left 4 Dead and Rude Dog, WW.
I got to say Call of Duty World at War. I'm having a lot of fun playing it. And again, my disclaimer, we know, and there's people going to be hounding me about all the blatant issues that there is. But it's what brought me to the first-person shooter genre. However, I'm looking to pick up Left 4 Dead just because it's a Valve title, and I know it's going to be supported for God knows how many years.
Interesting.
You know what? We made a big mistake. I don't know if you got I think you posted it, but... Rude Dog, but the deals that Valve had, not just on Valve games, at the end of the year, but for like id games as well, incredible Steam deals.
I just hate running Steam. I had Steam on my machine for a long time.
It takes
an hour for my machine to load up because of Steam.
Really?
I haven't played it, but I throw Fallout 3 in there. I mean, I hear amazing things about it, but I haven't picked it up yet, or even Dead Space as well.
And a very long night will end when we talk about predictions for 2009. What do you guys think in the Call of Duty scene? Has the I can say 2008 was the year of the zombie, I guess, in FPS everywhere. Has that genre burned out?
That genre burned out 12 years ago with Doom.
And here we are still with the zombies. So it looks like zombies are like vampires. You can never kill them.
Exactly, but it's the same complaint that people say about World War II. They say it's been overdone. I think it's fun to break up it to break up your normal gameplay every once in a while. But for me, the dungeons, the zombies, the Walking Dead, been there, done that.
Okay. It's still a lot of fun, though. Have you played COD Zombies?
I actually have. My daughter completed it, so I was able to play the last mission, and it was, you know, it was interesting. It was a new level, new map, something a little bit different, and I think that was more exciting than it was zombie-based for me.
But you played the zombie, you try to get higher and higher levels? Is that,
yep.
That's one? Okay.
Yeah, I dabbled in it. I can't say I spent much time with it.
Okay. So you kill one zombie, you've killed them all. Okay, I understand.
Shoot him in the head. Shoot him in the head.
Okay. you think COD World at War will right itself? I'm not saying that the ship is listing or anything, but you know, it tripped over the starting line a little bit, to mix another metaphor. Will it right itself in the early 2009?
I'll let Mike answer first. I'm counting to 10.
Well, you know what? I mean, COD UO was awesome. So they've done it before. Unfortunately, you know, there were, from a competitive person, you know, leaving out Slash Record and a few other things was unfortunate. But I think they will.
If Slash Record was in the game, do you think it would have made a difference to the competitive guys?
You can't. Well, every league requires demos. I mean, you can't.
No, but
really
not
play
a single.
A
yeah,
demo.
But that wasn't their only complaint. The next complaint.
There wasn't
a single map. They said that they liked. I mean,
I don't know. I think they would have tried. I mean, that prevents them from even trying.
Yeah, all the competitive guys whine too much. I'm telling you this right now. I was listening to all you guys for about 2 weeks. I'll tell you, you guys complain about everything. There's not, you know, you have to, and it boggles my mind why map makers in the community don't cater to the competitive guys. They could make them exactly like the way they want them, and I'm not sure why there aren't any more competitive maps. Explain that to me, map makers. Anyway.
Let me add my comments. I think, you know, I have a lot of faith in Treyarch, and I'm got my fingers and toes crossed, and I really am looking forward to some of the blatant issues that need to be fixed, and I'm hoping that this patch that will, you know, this next patch is going to hopefully turn a lot of people around. And, you know, that's, I think this next patch is going to be a big one for Treyarch. It's going to make or break them. They're not going to get a chance to miss a lot of things or break a lot of other things or especially miss the things that they need to fix.
Interesting. So you think definitely they're going to come steaming out of the gate and get the community to re-embrace World at War?
I think so.
What were those top, you know, like, let's say the top three things? Redirect, Record, or a couple of
spawning
things.
I think the spawning has sort of gotten to me, I have to admit.
I don't know if you guys seen my tweet today. It was the first time I played on a friendly fire on server.
I called
in artillery and I spawned into my own artillery. It was a wonderful thing.
Well, that's because it's broken right now, so it's not a surprise that you'd spawn under your own artillery, I suppose.
Exactly. But I think, you know, this is the big thing. If they can get hit most of those things, and, you know, I think I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I understand they released a game right before two major holidays or between two, you know, leading up to two major holidays. And, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt of them getting back to work, and hopefully they hit the code running.
Finally, COD6. How's that going to affect our community?
I guess until we know more about it. Right now, it's COD6. You know, the rumors of being sci-fi, which, God, I hope it's not. Hey, maybe zombies in space.
We still don't have everybody's claiming that it's Modern Warfare 2. Still no official word that it is.
Nothing that I've seen.
Only that rumor that came out.
Yeah, that rumor. I thought it was, and then it was pulled from some.
There's no something. Videos. There's nothing.
Wasn't about like in-game advertising that mentioned it or something.
Yeah, there was. They were at an advertising do, and supposedly somebody did talk about the fact that it was Modern Warfare 2. But again, when you do an official announcement, usually you have things like pick pictures, you know, videos, that kind of thing. And there was nothing like that.
Well, we know.
Everybody says official, but I don't see anything that's official.
I mean, this we know from their schedule, you know, their two-year cycle, you know, that, you know, COD4 was done. You know, they take off their time, blah, 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 blah. Basically February that they started the new game. So they're, you know.
Well,
they're really far into it. I mean, let's face it.
They're already playing it. If you read 402's blog, I think he's had guys come over to the studios to play multiplayer.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we got February, March, April, May. They got balance issues, clean up artwork, clean up music, blah blah blah.
It's almost made.
Big stuff's done. Yeah.
You know,
so biggest thing in 2009, I think the biggest thing is going to be, I think it's going to be Quake Live. I think Quake Live is the beginning, but you know, if you can, without people needing to buy, it's one of those things that we talk about COD4 needing a mass machine. If you get Quake in a browser without needing a massive video card. You know, then you have RCDW, then you have ET, which is still like the number three game out there, you know, stats-wise for number of players at a time. You're going to see a lot more people playing PC games because they're not going to need anything special.
Yeah, and the word free in there was, did you throw that in?
Right. And free.
Yeah. And who knows? We don't know anything about Call of Duty 6. Look where Battlefield was going, you know, is trying to go with Battlefield Heroes and the free in-game browser. Look at, you know, the Quake Live. So who knows? Maybe, you know, Treyarch's next project will be something like that.
To me, I'm going to finish off by saying that for 2009, I'm definitely going to be looking forward to what IW pushes out. However, really, really looking at that particular title with to see which way it's going. And the reason for this is that on July 9th, 2008, the Blizzard Activision deal was sealed. And for me, that was also like a seminal event. It was effectively the end of Call of Duty being a labor of love of a few talented individuals and the start of being a corporate IP. I don't know if you guys follow me on this, but with, you know, once it starts becoming a corporate thing rather than just a thing that a few guys came up with, the top folks behind IW, all the ramifications of being a corporate IP brings us to the EA debacles that Rude Dog was talking about early on in the program. And to me, what COD 6 is going to be the first post-Activision Blizzard Call of Duty, pure Call of Duty post-Activision Blizzard. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is going to be very interesting. And to see what the heck is in there. I'm going to be very interested in that. And
how long do you think Call of Duty can keep using the Quake-based engine before they need to move on? Or do you think it still has a lot of legs left in it? For Call of Duty 6, 7?
Wow.
I think a long time, especially if they're making it a base that runs on the 360, which can have a faster processor or a faster graphics card. They're going to want to live with the Quake engine as long as they can.
If you're a business guy, why would you do something that would cost you money if there's nobody else around to challenge you? So until somebody else comes by and knocks them off their perch as being, you know, they've killed EA's EA's FPS. Their big FPS machine.
Yep.
Who's going to knock them off until that happens?
I mean, they can't go DX10. They got to please the lowest common denominator, which is the 360. So.
And don't get me wrong. I think what Treyarch has done, what IW did with Call of Duty 4, Treyarch with Call of Duty 5, World at War, it absolutely looks beautiful, and it's pushed that, you know, whatever's left of the Quake-based engine, let's clarify that, you know, they've done a lot of work to it. I think they've pushed that well ahead, but at some point you're going to look at it and they're going to want to do something different that you know, that they need to move on. And we've seen what happened with EA with Medal of Honor Airborne when they went to a brand new engine and they just crashed and burned.
Oh, I don't think you were here, Rudog. Just by the way, if you look on the box, World at War. Guess what's there?
Yeah, exactly. No, I was there when you found that.
Yeah. So I mean, there's still a large portion there if they have to pay for it and license it.
Well, guys, I don't want to stop your conversation. You can continue going, but I think I'm going to put a halt to this one. We've gone for almost 2 hours. This is going to be pretty much. I would like to thank very much both you and Garrett Jacks for hanging in with us and talking about what's going to happen in 2009 and what did happen in 2008. Appreciate you you doing that, and insightful commentary as usual. I actually learned a heck of a lot listening to both you guys talking about this. As I said, we can continue on, and the chat room is obviously buzzing around and talking about all the stuff that we're talking about. So you guys can hang in, or you can come on and play now on the on our Bash Frag Fest server postcast. Go in there and start fragging some people, and we have that, of course, up thanks to Clan Wars. Appreciate that from them sponsoring that server, so kudos to them. Hopefully, as Joker said, we'll be moving it to Chicago, it sounds like, soon, so more people will be able to take advantage of it. So I just want to thanks everybody on the show, Chris Remo, Jeff from Godfrag, and of course Joker. Thank you very, very much for coming on, and have a great 2009.
Thanks.
Brother Bashers, Sister Slashers, thanks for listening to Bash. Come to our portal site, bashandslash.com, for more info on gaming. Join our boards and take part in our community. And remember, please support Bash by checking out our sponsors' links or by donating to Bash today. Thanks.